You know, the other day I was reading in the book of Proverbs. I've read about at least 10 or 15 chapters of the book of Proverbs several times here just a couple of weeks ago. I started reading those, and I read and dwell on those. And I thought, he says, and you know, and I, wisdom, I was the first thing he created. He made wisdom. He made me. Then I was with him. I was by his side whenever he made the heavens and the earth. I was there when he drew the horizons on the earth. I, wisdom, was there. You ever stop to think what God really meant when he said, let us make the creation? Who was he talking to? You know, I always thought Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But I think he's talking about his entire group of spirits. I think he made all these wonderful spirit beings like wisdom and all this understanding and everything else. And then just like he had the board meeting in 1 Kings and in Chronicles, whenever he asked his spirits how to do certain things, I think God inquired of these magnificent beings of wisdom that he made. I think he let them be a part of the creation. Can you imagine getting to be a part of the creation of God? You're a created spirit that he's made, like the spirit of wisdom. Can you imagine him turning over and say, wisdom, how would you do this, son? He said, Lord, I'd do it like this. Can you imagine this? Wouldn't it be an awesome place to get to walk with God? Be one of his spirits? But do you know, he went overboard when he made man. We don't see that. We're the crown of his creation. The crown of his creation. That everything he made, nothing he made in his own image but us. Isn't that awesome? That he made you in his image. And then we'll have the audacity to say, oh, but God, I don't love me. You didn't do a good enough job on me. Isn't that sad? That's sad. That just goes to show us that the enemy has so deceived us. We don't know who we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God, that he loved and made and give us all this power to walk with him on this earth. We don't read his book enough to even get a hold of it. But he says, he existed before. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see through Christ. So all the invisible spirits that are out there, all the good angels, who made them? Jesus. All the invisible bad spirits, who made them? Jesus did. Everything, both visible and invisible. He made everything. And he made kings and kingdoms, rulers and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. It was all for him. So who's all this stuff that's going on today? Is it for you and me, Michael? It's for him, isn't it? Now, a lot of us get out there and think it was for us. You know, so he did this so I can do this or I can do that. You know, I can be somebody. He has let us be somebody, all right. He's let us be his children. But this whole thing is not about you and me. Amen. It's about him and us glorifying him, because where does he live? In us. So if we walk in the God kind of love, we will exhibit to the world the way the king is supposed to live and the way he wants to live through us. If we walk holy and obedient to his word, there's no limitations to what he will do through an answer to prayer. You know, when you come and pray and ask him for something, he tells us, you know, if you'll purify yourself from how much evil? All evil. Then you will have made yourself a vessel as unto honor, fit for the master's use. So when he needs to use you for something, he will speak to you like he did that Baptist preacher. Go over there and pray for that man down there in that car accident. And he goes down there and says, I want to pray for that boy. And they said, well, he's dead. Well, God, you made a mistake. That's kind of where we go, isn't it? Lord, I mean, it must be the wrong man, Lord. You told me to go pray for him. They say he's dead. Hey, if God told you to pray for him and the guy said he's dead, you say, well, glory to God. Let me show you what Jesus is going to do. I mean, if that man's dead and he told me to pray for him, I know he's got something beyond our wildest dreams up his sleeve for this guy. Let me add him. But you know, that's not where we live in faith, is it? We say, God, you made a mistake. I know that first time the Lord spoke to me over a man with just terminal cancer. When I walked up to his wife's room, to his room where his wife came to the door, and I said, how is your husband? And she said, he has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer, has a few weeks to live. And the Lord says, tell him to call the men of the church to pray over him and I'll heal him. I mean, I heard that. I heard that clear. I prayed with her and I walked down the aisle. I remember looking up and saying, God, you didn't hear what she said. I mean, if this guy's got terminal cancer, ain't nobody heal him, not even God. It's funny now, Michael. It wasn't funny then, let me tell you for sure. Can't you just see God looking down at me and laughing and saying, son, if you ever get a hold of who I am, you don't even have a clue who you're dealing with. And that's us. We don't have a clue who we're serving. You know, it's the King. You know, when I think about these kind of things and what's been given to us under the new covenant, I think about this, that young man, he was about 75 or 80 years old, a guy, when he heard me on the radio down in Gatesville, Texas, and he was going to a Church of Christ, he started listening to me intently. And he started checking out everything I said in his Bible. He found out what I said and what his Bible said was the same thing. So he started coming up here to church. And he came several times. It's a 3-hour drive from there up here. And here he is way on up in years. But he said, I want to come sit in this church. And so he did. And then one day he called me and said, Thurman, I have double pneumonia. And he said, I am trying to get over this, but I just can't seem to get it done. Would you come down here and pray for me? I told him, sure. So I go jump in my car, and I drive down there, and I get to his hospital. I asked the lady there, I said, what room's in? She said, well, we just took him out of ICU and put him in a room right here. And I said, okay. So I go down the hallway till I find it, and I walk in there. He's sitting up on the edge of the bed. See me come in. He said, Thurman, praise God. He said, I'm glad you're here. And I walk over, and I'm talking with him a minute, and a nurse walks in and puts a deal on his arm, pumps it up, and checks his blood pressure. She says, Charlie, your blood pressure is extremely high. The low number is 138. Said, we may have to give you some blood pressure medicine. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, you ever seen God do a miracle? No. And I said, well, how would you like to see him do one? She said, don't be funny. I said, I'm not. I said, what's his blood pressure supposed to be? She said, oh, about 70. I said, okay. I reached up and laid my hand on him and on his chest over his heart. And I said, Father, you told me I could ask you for anything in John 14:13. I asked you to bring Charlie's blood pressure to about 70. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. Now, see, I didn't have to do a lot of screaming and hollering. You know, I didn't have to do nothing. I didn't have to start begging and pleading. I just had to do something in faith. And I said, ma'am, would you check it again? She looked at me and she said, no. I just checked it. It didn't change. I said, ma'am, you don't know what faith is. Charlie said, ma'am, please, for me, will you check it? Yeah, Charlie, I just checked. She starts to walk. He said, please, please check it one more time. Okay, Charlie. She said, it hasn't changed. She come back and wrapped it around his arm, pumped it up, and started coming down. And when it stopped at 72. And I looked at her, and tears were running out of both eyes, all the way off her chin. I said, don't ever say, young lady, you've never seen God do a miracle. You just got to see him do one. Amen. Right there. Now, see, that's obviously what God honors is bold faith in his word. That little girl had never seen a miracle, never even knew one existed. And somebody said, you can't turn God on and off. Yes, I can. He's standing by to do wonderful things for you and me that believe. He wants to bless us. We're His children. He wants to do good things for us. But you've got to be walking in obedience to His Word. And you've got to be walking in that love walk. And if you're doing what He says, He said, come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, Keith, come and ask me for anything on that job, son. I know more about construction. You ain't never built something like I've built. Amen. You know, you may build some big buildings, but you ain't never built what I built, son. I can show you anything. You just ask me and I'll show you. And He will, won't He?
Yes,
sure He will. He knows how to do everything. But anyway, under this new covenant that we have as children of God, we cut the king short because we don't do anything in faith. You know, when we do things in faith, the king shows up. Now then, he says Christ is the head of the church, which is His body. I think I read all those things. He existed before everything else began, and He holds all creation together. Okay, yeah, that's the last part of that verse. He holds all creation together. Now, for those of us that have studied science just a little bit, it's pretty big just to think about just our little galaxy. But our little galaxy is just a tiny spot. You know, we haven't even... Well, I think we have got to Mars, haven't we? We went to Mars. Didn't we send, I don't know, we sent some kind of machine that went off out there for 3 or 4 or 5 years that finally got out to one of the other planets. I forget which one it was. But we had never really touched even the outer realms, just of our tiny little galaxy. I mean, just on our tiny little planets. Because just think, the sun is only 96 million miles away. That's, what does that take, about 20, does that take 20, how many minutes would that be? At 186,000 miles a second, that'd be about, what, 20 minutes? Is that right? I don't know. I'd have to sit down and figure it out mathematically.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.